my God. This is not the song that I intended. This is not the song that I intended. But it's still from our favorite, the Fart Barf. Yeah. All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back. Or welcome to, if you haven't been here before, this is the Clown in the Shadow. I keep on wanting to say the Shadow and the Clown.
I think that I'm more important, so that's probably how it should be. No?
Wow. Bam. More important. Okay. Well, I like the phonetics of the Shadow and the Clown. It just sounds like it flows off more. But if you type in the Shadow and the Clown, we both know what happens. There's this weird French
black and white cartoon,
but it's not black and white from like the 40s.
No, it was like 1997.
Yeah.
It's black and white to be extra pretentious and artsy.
Yes, and it's exactly what you think. It's a clown that's getting scared because his evil shadow is trying to kill him. So, we're the clown.
Which is completely different than this.
And it's French. Yeah, oh yeah, way
there's
different.
There's no French on this. Yes. There's no death by shadow.
Yes, the shadow here is a peaceful man. He's more important, but he's peaceful.
That's true.
He doesn't have anything to prove.
No.
You don't have shit to prove.
That's why I let you go first there, clown.
Fuck, dude. I do all the little work that goes to take to make this thing possible, and a lot of work it is.
All the production value comes straight from your brain.
Yeah, like playing this music right before. And I played the wrong song, sure, but we still made it work. Well, like I was saying, what I was going to tell you when we were talking real quick, is like when we don't have like any guests and nobody knows who we are, and I don't know if people are re-listening, like we have a crowd that's actually listening to this or not, or if it's just first-time listeners that happen to find this.
They make a terrible mistake.
Well, you think in this first couple seconds, first few minutes, you're like, we better make this good. Because, like, no one's just going to... If you start listening to something, and we have no attention span, and it's not catching your ear, and there's not something about it that keeps you listening, that they're going to tune you right the hell out. And turn you off.
It's probably true.
I mean, I know I do it. I know when I look for podcasts, I don't click on them unless I know I see a familiar
name. Even if I like the podcast, if I don't know the guest's name, or when you hit on the information, and the guest isn't talking about something that I think is awesome... Yeah. I'll be like, nope, next one, because there's just a billion awesome podcasts out there.
I know.
There's so much entertainment nowadays, which is a good thing, but...
There's so much of everything these days.
Yes, there's a lot of everything.
I mean, like, there's, like, so much, like, content that's out there. When people are like, do you read? I'm like, I don't have time to read out of all these sweet documentaries that I watch. And the more, like, I was just looking now on... Like, on YouTube, and there's all these, like, WTFs by Marc Maron that I still haven't listened to that I want to listen to. There's this another amazing podcast called Philosophize This that the guy actually comes in really prepared about the history of philosophy. His name's Stephen.
I have to start listening to
check it out. And if you're listening to this and you like philosophy and like being smart, Stephen West's Philosophize This. And, you know, I'm a little bit behind on that one because I'll put it on before I go to sleep and then I'll fall asleep in it. And then I don't get a chance to listen to it.
Yeah, philosophy is not some stuff you want to try to understand as you're falling asleep.
It's something that I like to, well, I don't know. I think you kind of retain a little bit. Like, I'll listen to Terrence McKenna or people that I think have interesting things when I know I'm going to, like, go to sleep that are just audio-pleasing things.
Okay.
But I'll listen to them over and over again. Like, it's a half-hour-long podcast. I'll be like, okay, I remember this part, but then I'll start it off again. I couldn't imagine anyone actually having to listen to my voice to go like, oh man, I need Rob to sing me a sweet lullaby with his voice. I think my voice is very annoying.
Let's hope that most people listening disagree with you at this point.
So far, we've really sold it.
Just talked about how we need to hook people and our voices suck, and that's pretty much...
Well, dude, I don't think necessarily saying, like, a lot of people, when they try to sell you themselves, they'll go and tell you how great they are. And that doesn't necessarily... That is so...
Personally, that drives me nuts. I'd rather... You know, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's pretentious.
Yeah.
It's just like when someone sits there and starts to tell you how awesome they are, I tune out. And I think there's a happy medium between being self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And being like...
arrogant.
Yeah. But you still got to be confident.
Yeah.
You got to get that fine line. But yeah, man, like we're going to talk... Like it is hard out there now because there's just so much stuff. There's so many people.
Well, the thing is, I think there's so much stuff out there, but 87% of it's pretty terrible. But I think you need the 87% because the other 13%, and these are just numbers I'm pulling out of my ass. Like, when we were growing up and you had three channels that you watched with rabbit ear antennas or whatever, and then you had cable and there was like 20 channels on cable and that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You could never have a Breaking Bad back then.
But you had, there were great things back then, though.
There was some good stuff. There was
MTV, when I was a teenager,
yeah.
We had Liquid Television, we had The State.
Okay.
Okay,
that's two things.
Those are two
25 years when you were a young adult.
Well, I mean, I'm not prepared. I don't have a list, but there were some pretty awesome things. I remember that they had like 120 minutes,
crappy videos.
Yeah, but there's some good videos on there. Like, I have
you're not going to win me over with MTV and awesome videos back in the day.
Saying that, like, I have this cassette, this videotape, this VHS that when I still used a VCR in college that somebody else made, had Rubbish Heap, which is a World Industry Skateboard video, and it had a 120 minutes just random episode, and the videos on there were friggin' haunting. They were great. They had like an early Smashing Pumpkins video, they had Butthole Surfer video, but they were just really cool. I remember MTV had like some cooler stuff that you could watch on it, or at least the programming.
Okay, they had some. My point is though that, okay, you're talking about, you're just proving my point, because Liquid Television, yes, there was some cool shit on there. At least half of the stuff on Liquid Television, you're just like, wow, that was kind of weird and kind of crappy, and I just wasted 4 minutes of my life.
Art School Girls of Doom.
Yeah, I don't even remember this. I remember Eon Flux was like, that was
Eon
the crazy
Flux
badass
was awesome.
Shit. And when that would come on, you'd be like, fuck yeah! And then the rest of the half an hour, you're like, oh man, I wish Eon Flux was still on.
Yeah, they...
My whole point is, though, I think I'm going to start applying this to everything. Just the ratio of awesome stuff, because it's so hard to make awesome stuff out there.
Yeah.
The more stuff that's made, the more awesome stuff you get, but you also get more Kardashians and The Voice and American Idol and Justin Bieber.
You get that, but it's also like with the internet. When you get a lot of things, you get just total blockage. There's just people. There's just stuff in the way. When, you know, it's like it just feels like there's just so much stuff, just hordes of people, hordes of content, and to pick through it all to find out the good stuff. On the internet, you can. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
you
that's
can
the awesome thing is that, yeah, like, you've had your head up your ass if you don't fucking know about Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or Mad Men. And those are three of the most badass shows of all time. And even with all the garbage out there, everybody knows that you should be watching that stuff.
Well, the cream rises to the top. When you look at... I don't know how many people actually...
That's not true. That used to not be true. Because The State you talked about, The State was badass. It lasted like 2 seasons because fucking...
No, it had like... I know...
There's how many episodes of The State are there? It's less than 30.
I think they had at least... There's at least 3 seasons and they said they stopped doing it not because they were kicked out, but because they just felt like they needed to move on. Was a whole thing. The State came out. There was more of a rebel kind of thing to it. Like, they didn't want to repeat any sketches and have reoccurring characters. But since some of them were so successful, like the Doug, I'm out of here. That was a whole, they made that up. Like, he's, you know, if you watch it now, knowing what I now know about it, like Louie, the guy who has his catchphrase, and I'm out of here. Those guys have catchphrases that were made for that because they were trying to appease.
They were mocking catchphrases
because they were made to do it and they weren't happy about it. So they go, fine, I dip my balls
whole point
in a
catchphrase. Though, there are millions of people out there who never fucking heard about The State until 3 years after they were off the air. And nowadays, that's hard. If anything as good as that, you're going
to
know about
it. The State, to this day, stands up pretty strong against the...
I think so, yeah, I agree.
They were very good. And none of them... I don't think they've been as good since. I did like Wanderlust. A lot of people didn't.
You told me about this.
I liked watching it. The first viewing of Wanderlust, I found it very funny. I watched it again, and it wasn't as funny in the second viewing, but the first one, you're like, what? I didn't even realize it was David Wayne-y, I think his name is. The guy.
David Wayne.
Wayne, is it Wayne? Yeah, Wayne, because he has Wayne-y days. I didn't realize he was the director and all, you know, it was going to be basically a State movie with Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd to kind of get other people to watch it that wouldn't know anything about The State.
Yeah.
So it could get passed through. But I thought it was funny.
I'll have to check it out.
When I saw it, the first viewing.
I think it's always awesome when you review a movie to make sure that at least one of the people talking about it has never seen it. That way you can have a constructive
dialogue. I didn't review... did I spoil it? Did I say one plot point? Did I mention... what do you know about it other than the name is Wanderlust?
That's
and who's
point.
In
I have no constructive input
I'm
about
not,
this movie.
I'm recommending the friggin' movie, you dickwad. I'm not, like, reviewing the movie.
Okay.
That's a recommendation, man.
Okay, I'll definitely
take
check it out.
Just take the recommendation.
I'll check it out then. It sounds great. I look forward to it.
But, I mean, I'm not just talking about, like, that. I'm talking there's just hordes of people everywhere, it seems. I don't know if I'm just getting older or more.
You do live in one of the largest cities in America, so that's
and probably... more people... Like, I remember I'm fond of saying it was in a Best Buy parking lot, and it did happen. I was in a Best Buy parking lot, and I was just sitting there for, like, 20 minutes, not moving, because it was, like, near Christmas time, and all the spots were taken, and everyone was looking for a spot, and I was going 0 miles per hour there. You expect to do that in the freeways anymore, but just in a parking lot, and I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, God, it is such an old idea to move to LA. It is just an ancient,
played out.
I am not the first one to have this.
So fucking 1970.
Very
man.
Unoriginal. Many people have done it before, and I'm stuck around them now. And yeah, and it's only gotten worse. But then, actually, in a weird way, I was at a Best Buy the other day, and the parking lot was vacant. What? And there's nobody in there.
What time was it? Like it was midnight? Like
midnight? No. It was like 5 o'clock because nobody goes to Best Buy anymore. They just buy it on Amazon.
Uh-oh.
So
things are changing.
It all comes around. So now all the people, like, I'm trying to do my website, and I actually have that little story written in the bio. It's like when I first came to LA, you know, I was in the Best Buy parking lot when I realized that it was an old idea. And then just the other day, I was in a Best Buy. Nobody was there because everyone was on the internet. So here I am, trying to make a website in the middle of the hordes of people. Yep. Another old idea. Rob coming late again to the party. Everyone's already drunk in there and
yeah,
slammed.
Yeah, you should try this podcasting thing. I heard it was yeah, huge in 2010.
Yeah, see, there you go. But it's just like in LA, man. Like, I'll go down a friggin' alley because I'll try to get away from the traffic, and then there'll be like more people. There's somebody else there, and you start getting mad that they even exist.
When you hit traffic in an alley, that's always frustrating. Like, what the hell?
Well, it
isn't even really a road, and there's too many people on it.
You just get mad at their existence. Like, why are you here? Why do you exist? And they haven't done a damn thing wrong.
Yeah.
And they're probably thinking the same thing about me. That's a giant fear. Am I just another one of the mass just idiot hordes out there, and I'm one of them. Like another red blood cell in the organism that we call Los Angeles.
Yep. The sick
red blood cell.
Living along organism that is Los Angeles.
Yeah. Pumping through. I saw a little documentary about that where they were saying, like, organisms, what is an organism? I think it might have been Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman, when they're saying, like, the bigger the organism, the slower the heartbeat. And they're saying, what is an organism? And they, you know, say maybe an organism is like something beyond what we even, if we go to the macro level, like cities are kind of like their own organisms. Yeah. And they have a heartbeat too. Rush hour, you know, that early rush hour and late rush hour is the heartbeat of the city that still pumps and pulses and has its own interest and whatever that a city is, and that we are just like little cells within that city.
I think that's, we're part of the hive. Also, I mean, you talk about an organism. I think it's, it's been a long time since I was in ninth grade biology class, but I think the Portuguese man of war, which everybody's like, oh, it's a jellyfish. It's actually a colony of different animals. They're all different, like, little creatures, and they all act in their own different way, but it's actually a colony of different, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 different creatures that create and essentially what looks like a jellyfish and acts like a single animal.
Those are... And it looks like, did it like become a jellyfish? That does it look like a jellyfish out of some sort of like evolutionary?
Well, clearly, because
they look alike. I know
done
you
any
don't
preparation either. But I remember that just blew my mind. With like Portuguese man of war, it's not actually a jellyfish, man. It's actually a colony of different
we
cells.
We need to get some experts
creatures
in this. We need to get, or at least on the computer, somebody that can get on the computer real quick and find all this crap out.
Yeah.
But like instantaneously, like I don't think it'd be interesting for anyone to listen to them, us going through the computer and finding out.
No, some typing in the background would be kind of annoying.
Man of War, though, that's got a sweet name to it, though. Like in
well, it's named after the ship, right?
Man of War, is it?
Like Man of War was a type of, was a the big ass fucking sailing ships that like Spain and Portugal had back in the days of the Armada. I'm just, once again, information I think is in the back of my
brain. I know a Romulan warship in Star Trek was called a Bird of Prey, and that was kind of sick.
That's covered all a whole spectrum of
there you go
of semi knowledge in this episode.
Well, we bluffed through it, man. Bluffed through it. Yeah. Man of Wars are scary. I only know, like, I only think I remember the Man of War from a picture in like a biology book from high school, and it looked like a jellyfish floating up with a ton of little tentacles.
Yeah, because they float, and I know they can actually fuck you up.
Yeah, they fuck you up bad.
They're yeah.
Are they worse than jellyfish?
I think they're much worse than normal jellyfish.
Are they bigger?
They're massive. I think the tentacles are... I'm actually looking this up right now because it's going to drive me nuts. I think they're bigger, and I think the tentacles are like, I don't know, like 10 feet, 15 feet long. So yeah, you get even close to them, you're going to get stung like a bastard.
Wow.
So, yeah. We've digressed a little bit here.
No, it's fine. Man of War. The Man of War minute. So I was watching the documentary last night on the Pistons, on the Bad Boys.
Yeah, you love them when you were growing up, because you're from Detroit, right?
I'm from, I got the television signals from Detroit. Like, Detroit was pretty close, because off Lake Erie, you got that, so I would watch them as
within
a kid.
Within the television signal area counts, I would say.
So what do you get? You end up rooting for these guys, and it wasn't just that. In study hall, they had this book called The Franchise, and The Franchise was all about the Bad Boys and about that era of basketball, mm-hmm. the Pistons. And like Phil, my buddy, our mutual friend, he always makes fun of me for liking them because, you know, everyone thinks that they're cheaters and they were just jerks, and everyone from the outside.
Kind of dirty assholes, yeah.
You got to watch the documentary because it brought me back to why I liked them so much. And I was reading the book at the time. They were a deep, deep team. They didn't just come at you like with a basketball game. They came at you psychologically. Like Rodman would pinch guys' butts as he would guard them and it just get under their skin. And then Rick Mahorn, he said, I learned that from Rick Mahorn, who like they, him and Bill Laimbeer would just declare total mental war on the people they were going at. They were people couldn't handle it. Like when they played other teams, like they said they didn't play Portland more than like four times in the last few years. And when they had to play them for a championship, Portland just freaked out. And they're like, oh, we got them. Cause everything was for not really to fight them, but to win, to get the mental edge, which they would do by pitching butts for the mental edge. They would go anywhere. They would do anything to win.
Wow. See, that makes me not like them. You hear men pinching butts to fuck with other men's heads, and you're like, that's great.
That's
like,
Rodman. No. That's Rodman. It's not like, not all of them. There is this part in it, though, where they talk about, like, Isaiah Thomas, like, at one game, he rolled his ankle to the point, and they showed it, and it was gnarly. And I've done that before.
Shit fucking hurts.
You can't, yeah, I've done it before. I've been on crutches. He couldn't walk after the game, but, right, and he did it mid-game. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he said he put his head back, kind of breathed in a couple times, and then he's like, it's on. He said, okay, got to do this. And then he scored something like 24 points in a quarter or more than anyone still to this day, anyone, Jordan, LeBron, anyone has ever scored in a finals quarter.
Yeah.
On a bad ankle.
Yeah.
That's badass.
It's impressive. And then what happened? Why
they lost the game still, I think. But.
Okay. Well, they won two championships, and then something happened where they just kind of...
They imploded. They couldn't handle it.
Well, I think somebody better came along and dominated for the next 8 years.
You son of a bitch.
So, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, but even he said he wouldn't be that if it wasn't for the Pistons, getting through the Pistons.
Okay.
I'm not saying that, like, Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. Hands down, blah, blah, blah.
What about LeBron?
He might be physically. He has, I think, the physical, but I don't know if he has the mental edge that Jordan had. Like,
not right now. No,
the book's still being written on LeBron.
Yeah, that's
true. Know who knows how many more championships are ahead of him or whatever. I mean, but he's a giant beast. He's like Jordan plus. You know, he's just bigger.
Yeah, he's Jordan, but fucking 50 pounds heavier and 4 inches taller.
Yeah, but that could be a bad thing. Jordan, he wasn't as quick as Jordan was. He's pretty quick.
He cramps up though. Can't handle the heat.
I don't think he's as good of a shot either. Even though.
No.
Yeah. So I mean, Jordan had to resort.
Have I ever told you how I feel about the NBA?
You hate it.
The same way I feel about pinching men's butts to get inside their head. So, anyways.
What, secretly love it and think about it? Watch it at home in a dark room.
Yeah. I watch the NBA in a dark room.
Okay.
While pinching my own butt. So let's talk about anything but this.
Anything but butts. Man, I'm tapped out.
You're just worn out from thinking about your glorious Pistons.
Well, I don't know, man. Just the whole pot. Like right now, I'm feeling kind of tired. When I was amped up before. I was thinking, like, you know, we got to really hook them up in the beginning, but I think that's stupid. You got to just be yourself. It's so lame to come up and try.
You got to be yourself if you're likable and have things to say.
I normally, like...
I'm not saying that you don't, but I'm just saying Okay. Just be yourself is always good advice as long as yourself is a decent person.
If you're just likable and have nothing to say, just super likable and can get by on just likability.
Yeah, it doesn't come through over a speaker, though, so much.
No. Then you gotta put up or shut up here. It's not like you can pretty your way out of it.
No, you can't use your winning smile right now, Rob.
No, I know.
Those baby blues are not working like they normally do.
You think, like, all of art is basically a popularity contest?
All of art is a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Popularity for the artist or for the work? Because back 500 years ago, people would never see the artist.
Well, nowadays, yeah, but now we're, like, you're not really... Now we have, like, people, the person, like Basquiat, you know, we know who he is. He looks like such a big... He's a personality. So when you see him, it kind of, he represents, not, it was not just the art. When they're gone, in the past, all we're left with is the art. Now we have this person that's there, like Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol.
I think he was the first one to kind of, the personality in the image was as important as the art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a good thing? No, I don't know.
I mean, is your life an art? Are these people's lives an art? But when you look at these guys... Like, I look at comedians all the time, and it's like, there's this whole wave of, like, really hot girls that are out there being comics.
Are they not...
A couple are funny, but a lot of them...
Sexist, or...?
No! I mean, they get way ahead to the middle so quick. Like, so quick. They'll blow past, and it's like, they're not even that funny, but... Some of them can be funnier because people automatically want to listen to what they have to say when they say, like, you know, oh, it's so hard, but, you know, it's hard being a pretty whatever girl because all these guys want to screw you all the time. And it's just like, yeah. You know, and everyone laughs. You know, everyone friggin' laughs.
Is it a sincere laugh or is it more, I don't know, it's kind of like a...
I don't think
it's a kissing their ass laugh because they're hot girls and that's what people do with hot girls.
I don't think people know... You know, I don't think people a lot of times when they're insincere know that they're being insincere.
Really?
Don't you think? Like, if a girl, especially when it comes to stuff like that with girls, like, you know, they're like, oh, girls get away with a lot and guys will let them get away with a lot. And like, there's this one girl that was taught, like, that I saw do comedy last week and another guy went out to talk to her. And I was going to go say goodbye to them because I was leaving. And he was just going on and on about, you got to explore your passions and anyone, you know, I'm like, and I was like, no, you got to figure out how to work comedy. And like, there's actual like skills that are involved in it and you have to get a good base and it's like building something. But he's like, no one just explores their passions. It's just a raw. And I was thinking anytime a guy starts talking to a girl about passion, you know that it's just like...
shoveling game.
It's just shoveling. It's crap. John Lennon was one of the most passionate, creative people ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he never talked about it. He just sung his awesome songs. You never hear him talk about his passion and blah, blah, blah. You don't hear people that really have it, that do express it, talk about it specifically like that. Because it's such a cornball thing. And he's like going on and she's like eating it out of it, you know. She's loving it.
Wow. No, that's interesting though. Like, yeah, if you're people that are really great with creativity and passion, just do it and don't fucking talk about it. Don't brag about it.
There's a whole thing called the War of Art, by Stephen Pressfield, where he talks about
which
that.
I just finished about a week ago.
Yeah, so. And you know he talks about that, about how the, you know, they didn't talk about that crap. They didn't talk about their passions. If you start talking about that, it's like jinxing the whole thing about the. It just is.
Well, that whole book is all about just doing it.
Yeah.
And just getting it out there. And
it's hard-nosed. It's a real deal. So I think when people go and they... A lot of people... Yeah, I think a lot of people are full of shit and they don't even know it.
I feel like I don't want to be full of shit, though.
That you or you...
When I am being full of shit, like when I'm laughing at something that's really not that funny, there's a hollowness to it. There's just kind of a, I'm like, and I'll catch myself mid like grin going, oh wait, I feel pressure to like this, or I want the person to feel good, or I want them to like me. And that's, there's a big difference between that and like just a can't control yourself belly laugh, like, oh shit, that's amazing.
Well, it's like, well, it's not even just laughter, but
that's
like,
just an example.
But you know, I chimed in the conversation too with my own little thing, but it was like I wasn't being disingenuous or anything, but I did know that the whole thing was bullshit, and the real truth was, it's like, people are gonna look at you because you're hot. The reason that we're both talking right now is because you're hot.
Did you say that?
No.
Oh, I wish you had.
If I get back in a conversation like that again, and it's a truth that they don't necessarily want to hear. I'm like, you're pretty. People are gonna want to watch you.
Do you think?
And you're gonna go up way quicker. That? I think she does. Last time I was talking to her, I wrote a whole bit about that. Yeah. I was like, about guys, you got to watch out. Why are guys such idiots and D-bags? It's because trying to get laid is a timed sport. We got to beat that buzzer because she's going to screw somebody. She's going to screw somebody.
It's a race.
It's a race. So we all have to jump. We're all like trying to throw it on quickly. We can't just relax into it, because if we do that too much, she's going to go off with someone. So you got to fight off this dude now that's talking about his passion. And so I'm now in the same mix. I'm no better than him. I get that. But at least I get that, I'm conscious of the fact that
you don't think he knows that when he's talking about passion that he's full of shit and he's spitting fucking lines?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not the way he was doing it.
And that probably works better then.
It's...
Because it's sincere bullshit.
It's sincere bullshit.
Fucking deadly.
Yeah, it's oh, God.
Lethal, sincere bullshit, right?
And it's just going on and on. And, like, you know, there's three... So, yeah.
So somebody that can throw out complete bullshit and completely believe it, do you envy that person, or do you feel sad for them?
I don't.
You're gonna go through their whole life, Rob, thinking that they're happy.
I don't know. No, I think they have genuine moments when they're not. Life happens no matter what. Like, you can't, even if I sit on this couch, you're gonna age and shit happens. Like, things are gonna happen, you get older. You, without trying for it to happen, it's going to happen. So he might at some point realize, if he wasn't totally conscious of it then, that there's something amiss because things aren't necessarily working out. And you start just beating your head on that rock.
So which would you rather be? The guy that goes through his whole life just being a complete clueless douche and stumbling into mild success and a decent amount of hot ass and, say, a solid career... Or the guy that is
like
very...
George Bush, very successful person, but kind of like...
Wow, going there.
Who knows? Maybe George Bush is a kind of a, you know, like...
That's one way to go.
It's just thinking, you know, I don't know.
Would you rather be that person or the guy that's, I don't know, or the opposite, where the guy that's
like
very self-aware, but also because you're self-aware, because you're very honest and very... intelligent, you get a certain amount of pain with that.
It's like Nietzsche.
You want to be the happy fool or the tortured artist?
If you know anything about Nietzsche, all he did, like, he was alone. His closest, like, person was his sister. He had a pretty tortured life. And he was very much well aware of it. You know, the things he would say, like, the people that were dancing to the music look insane on the people that couldn't hear the music or whatever, that quote.
That's great.
His famous quote. Which one I would rather be? I mean... I don't really have a choice.
Yeah, what do you want to be? You want to be the happy fool, the brilliant,
I don't know,
depressed person.
I would love to say happy fool, but I'm too.
I've had this conversation with one of my friends a long time ago, and I was like, "Yeah, my dog is always happy.
That's a dog.
I love my dog, but it doesn't necessarily want to live the same life my dog has. He's always fucking happy."
Joseph Campbell said that. Why? Like, someone asked him why. You know, why do I need to think about deep things? Why do I need to have an examined life? You know, like Plato would say, an unexamined life is not one worth living. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, dog is happy, all that, but you're living the life of a dog. So a life of a man is one of more. There's suffering that's involved.
I was talking to a friend a while ago. We were talking about this. I was like, human beings are not that far from dogs. What motivates dogs? Sleep, food, sex, and that's about it. A lot of people are pretty damn close to that. Because you have money, but money allows you to get food and sex and sleep in a comfortable bed.
It's fine. Once you get all those things, though, it's not, it's just, I mean, you need those things. You know, I need to eat. I need to. I need to sleep. I need to.
Okay.
I need a place of, you know, I need that stuff. But once it's all obtained, there's that emptiness, that giant void that's all there, you know, that.
So isn't there something wonderful about not, about always chasing those things? Because in the void, you don't have time to worry about the void.
There's something like if the shit hit the fan and all of a sudden we're all like in some quasi future war scenario where we're just getting the natural resources was difficult and we didn't have time to philosophize about like the meaning of any of it.
I think a lot of people around the world though, they don't have time to be depressed because they're walking 10 miles to the well to get water every day and they're worried about their cattle being eaten by a lion or they're worried about fucking death squads or whatever. Like it's
well,
I don't know.
I repeated this. I know I said this on another podcast, so our listeners, about how there's this death march that they did in Africa where these kids, they were just little boys, and they had to walk hundreds of miles. A lot of them didn't make it.
In Sudan, right?
Yeah, and the survivors, a lot of the survivors were brought here to America. You see, you've had it pretty tough. And a giant percentage of them committed suicide because when they got here, they had crappy apartments. They all had to work at, like, McDonald's or some really terrible place, and they said it was harder and more lonely in America than it ever was when they were living in the land of strife.
Yeah.
Because, and here they flaunt, you know, wealth is flaunted everywhere. One of them, like, a couple of them, there's this one dude who's super cool that might be, I guess, considered the main character of the documentary, got his shit together. He worked at McDonald's, but it's a hard, you know, the culture was very hard to intermingle in, and just urban loneliness was just rampant. You know, they didn't have anyone to talk to. So, but you had all your needs met. You know, they were comfortable. He got to eat McDonald's.
He got more calories than he could ever imagine.
More calories,
more comfort,
television,
more safety, more entertainment. And these people are killing themselves. It's I don't know.
But it's, I think a lot of people don't challenge themselves either. Like they have. One thing is like, okay, what do I want to do? Like, stand-up comedy was such a scary thing to do, but I challenged myself to do it. And then I also don't let myself off the hook. If I do shitty, I'm like, I have to face the mirror. It's like working out. You got to go do that. You got to go work out, and you're going to be glad that you did it, and then you're going to try to improve the next day, even though it's hard to do it.
Yeah.
And that gives you something to, like, it gives you a goal that you need to obtain. Without that goal, without that reason to live, then you're just stuck in your comforts. And if you're not motivated by hunger to get off your ass, if you're not motivated, if you're not, you know, being poor and broke will motivate the living shit out of you. But if you're moderately comfortable, you can just sit in your comfort. And that's misery.
I've said this, I think comfort is corrosive. Being too comfortable will just make you a worse person. There's something good about getting outside the comfort and being a little bit scared and challenging yourself. And, thankfully, in the Western world, in a lot of parts of the world, we have that. We're so fucking comfortable that we now have to go out and try to do things like, you know, you're trying to be a stand-up comedian or pursue a career that hopefully you think is important or pursue relationships you think are important as opposed to just trying to get to the well and not get killed by a hippopotamus on the way there.
Or the death hippopotamus. More like a death squad.
Hippopotamus killed more people in Africa than any other animal, Rob.
Other than man.
That's true.
You son of a bitch, I gotcha.
Well, just imagine if a hippopotamus...
imagine if a hippopotamus was a man, a hippo man. No!
What if a hippopotamus can use an AK? They'd be killing every last motherfucker.
Those sons of bitches.
They lack the opposable thumbs, but if they did...
Oh, man, if the hippos ever took arms, we're all screwed now. Imagine. Oh.
Hippopotamus apocalypse. That's your fucking...
Apocalypse. Oh, that's what
$1 billion.
We shouldn't be the shadow and the clown. We should be hippopotamus apocalypse.
That's it. We're changing it. We're
you
changing
son of
it.
A bitch. You came up with that before I did. Oh, man.
Yep.
Oh, no. I'm going to write that down. That's hilarious.
Go ahead.
The tongue-twisting hippopotamus apocalypse. My first album, Hippopotamus Apocalypse, with Triple
Play. I think it's going to be the new Walking Dead. It's going to be the most amazing saga survival ever.
Oh my god, that'd be so great. Instead of... Well, that's what I think about overpopulation. I think the whole zombie thing, I think that's just tapping into people's fears of overpopulation because we're constantly around things, you know? And you watch those movies, World War Z, is a fact.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you liked it more than I did. I don't know. It looks like Brad. I think South Park summed it up a lot more. Just put Carmen in a with sweet hair and.
I didn't see that in South Park.
Like, fuck you, Brad Pitt. Where Carmen thinks he's Brad Pitt. He's running around with a scarf around his neck. They
just put a the scarf was.
He had that scarf on the whole time.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. And Brad Pitt's got a hunch, and that hunch, spoiler alert, the hunch Brad Pitt has is the right hunch to have.
Has Brad Pitt ever been wrong in all the movies he's been in? Every character he's in.
12 Monkeys, California.
I've never seen California. Well, he's crazy in California.
Yeah. So, you said any movie. You said any movie. Shut you up. Fucking said it.
Anyways, I think we're back to the whole
where were we at?
World War Z zombie thing. I think part of the reason why people are fascinated with those movies is because it would take all of us back to that day where you're not worried about fucking bills. You're not worried about your credit score. You're not worried about your rent. All of a sudden, we're all back on that, oh shit, every problem you have is a real fucking problem. Every relationship you have is a real relationship. Take us all back to the, back how things were 300 years ago. Well, life and death, and also incredibly rewarding.
Well, I think about that too, about like how many idiots there are in the world now, and like, would this person be somebody that I could rely on if the shit hit the fan? You know, how many people are you around, and you're like, well, he's kind of a shady person. I wouldn't want him around the limited food source of the water. I wouldn't trust him with that. This person's lazy. He's not going to work hard.
All new people must pass the Walking Dead test for you.
Well, you would see, like, if like we look at so many people out there are just allowed to be such fucking idiots. And if had any sort of strife, without a goal, I would be way, you know, my goal, you have to work hard to get anywhere. It makes you less of an idiot. I'm not saying that I'm perfect or not an idiot in a lot of ways, but you got to start shaping up to do anything. You got to really, like, to make something really happen, do that. And a lot of people don't. They just want the accolades of it, and they don't even want it. They don't even like the work. A lot of people in stand-up, that's the one thing I don't like. They don't even like stand-up. You can tell they don't like it. They're not good at it. They're not particularly funny. I don't know whoever told them they should do it.
Yeah.
They're just doing it because they want, like, attention, or they know that there's, like, a little world out there, and they like that they're a part of it, but they have no business touching a microphone.
Yeah.
Or trying. You know, there's no, I don't know what, why, there's no reason for you to be doing comedy. You know, I had a friend that I respect at one time said, I know why you do comedy. And that was like a really good thing to be told. And they're like, okay, because when you do something like comedy, you always wonder, am I funny? Is this funny?
Yeah.
You know, you might, one night you'll make everyone laugh with it, and the next night you don't. And you're like, what am I doing? Why? And then the next night you'll be great again.
Yeah. So why you do comedy then?
Oh, Jesus. Why? Because I'm miserable when I don't do it.
Wow, that's the best answer I've ever heard, Rob.
Because it
really is. No, that's I'm sold. I'm miserable when I don't do it.
And what do I do when my comedy is telling the people about how miserable I am? That's right.
Gotta let the misery out.
Let that misery out.
You gotta spread it.
You build it all up.
Spread it like an athlete's foot in a locker room, Rob.
That's an opening bit I have. Is like, shit happens to us all day long. Shit, bad shit, good shit. You want me to sit around in my shit? No, I'm going to take this shit, put it on fire, and try to turn it into gold.
I don't think chemically that's accurate. It's not the best analogy.
I'm not doing the full bit for the
burning shit turns into gold.
Alchemy, this is the thing, the science of alchemy, the chemistry comes from alchemy. It's not a science. Just wait. Don't pick it apart yet. This is a bit. This isn't science. Okay, one of the things they used to try to take one element, take it and turn it into gold. They needed heat, so they take it and they put heat and pressure on it. Heat and pressure. So one of the things they tried to do was use shit. They would try to take human poop and turn it into gold by applying heat and pressure. Now, shit happens to me all day long. Shit.
Yeah.
And if I don't add heat and pressure, all it's going to be is shit.
Yeah.
But I need the audience to give me the heat. I need them to be watching me right now to give me the pressure, or all it's going to be is shit. But maybe if they give me enough heat and pressure, we can take all this shit and make it gold. Now, if anyone in here wants to try to make some gold out of it, and that's what I do. That's the...
It's a little Tony Robbins-ish.
It is. It's little. It ain't a little. It's a lot. Like, yeah. There's not really a joke behind it. It's more of a pumper-upper. You can tell that I open shows trying to get the energy.
Yeah, that's the host.
That's a host yeah. move for sure. I'm not in the middle of my set gonna go, guys, man, guess know about alchemy? If that starts, then go to the bar and get a drink. I don't know. It was one of the earlier things that I've done, and I've done it to music, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah. Heat and pressure. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with a little scientifically accurate version of that, Rob. Ready for this?
Okay.
Okay. You know why soil gets exhausted, and you're limited on how much crops you can grow in soil.
Sure.
Nitrogen.
Nitrogen. Yes.
Okay. You know what the vast majority of air is?
Nitrogen.
It's like 76% nitrogen.
Yeah.
There was a guy, I believe his name was Franz Haber, German Jewish guy, back in, I don't know, like 1910.
Yeah, back when they had him. Got it.
Back before, yes, a lot of terrible things happened. He discovered that if you took heat and pressure, you could suck nitrogen out of the fucking air and make it in a solid form, and you could put it in the soil. And there's, I mean, I've heard another podcast, it's amazing. But anyways, they talk about this.
What is it?
I think it was Radiolab they talked about it.
Okay.
But they go the whole story of his whole, like, tragic, amazing life.
I'm amazed you remembered his name.
Franz Haber, yeah. Anyways, the whole point is that without him inventing this process of taking nitrogen out of essentially air, out of nothing, essentially, and turning it to soil, the carrying capacity for the world for food is about 1 billion people, maybe 2 billion people. So there's 5 billion people whose existence is based upon him using this modern day alchemy.
Is it gasoline? But it's gasoline that powers it, like
you
fossil.
You need a lot of fossil fuel. You need a lot of power because you're heat and pressure. That's a lot of energy.
Jesus, we're so screwed. We're all so very, yeah, so a very lot of petrochemicals. Screwed. Well, like I read that that book Ishmael that I've been told. It's all about how a population will grow. On how much food you give a population, it'll just grow.
Yeah.
So if we never had all that food to begin with, we wouldn't have all these people and all the problems. But the more people, the more...
More food, more problems. Well,
we have 7 billion people now. Now they're making enough...
7.2.
Yeah, but now they're making enough food for 7.5 to feed everyone, which means population will fit that... It'll keep growing to fit 7.5, but by that time, food production is going to be at 7.7. And it'll just keep... growing and growing, and the overpopulation is just going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
And that food production, that's the key to everything. And Ishmael, they talk about, that changed my whole perspective on everything when I was 18 to the point, that and the Pistons, the bad boys, the guys that wouldn't want to fit in, God, this is all coming together, kind of changed my perspective in that when I look, why did I take kind of the less beaten trail and didn't just get a shitty job and everything is because I didn't really necessarily believe in the system at large because of...
Because you're a bad boy.
That, because I'm...
You like to pinch men's butts.
It's my... you're this is your podcast right now. You realize this? This is like the last one I wouldn't shut up in. This is definitely the one where you cut... The return of Tim. The Tuck Strikes Back. But, yeah, it's because of food production that we have all these people around us. And it's not going to stop until the food production stops. But it's not a very popular thing when you say, stop food production because we want to feed everybody.
Yeah.
That's what's destroying the world.
Once again, somewhere I was listening to or watching that people were talking about, you get the flyover states. You fly over America, it's so empty. Like, there's so much space for human beings.
They're all for food.
The problem is 40% of the land's surface is used for human food production.
After
40%.
After I read that book and I drive through Ohio, I'd be like, you drive through and you go, I never saw it before, but all this used to be forest. And all it is now is just one field of corn after another field of corn or soybean or whatever.
Yeah, I think there's a term, Anthropocene, which is like the age of man, where actually the earth is being shaped by a creature. Never before has a single creature shaped the earth. The creatures have been shaped by the earth, and now we're changing the way the earth looks.
We're right now, this whole book's being written, in Ishmael, the whole thing is go back to nature. That's, it's not possible until, should we hit the fan? Should the shit hit the fan? Like, is it better for whatever there is, maybe a bigger plan than any of us can see? that there is a higher consciousness, that we are basically made of the earth.
We're just an ugly step in the...
We're just some weird step.
Something beautiful.
Every time, like, okay, like the asteroid hit the and destroyed everything and killed the dinosaurs, so we may live. And now we're killing everything, so whatever could happen. That some sort of cosmic consciousness can come maybe somehow out of this kind of weird... Or maybe... Because things go in cycles, and maybe it's like a downward trough in it. And I know the future is probably going to be pretty dark with all these people and all the resources being sucked up.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how, you know, we'll be underwater at a certain point, and the refugees that you're going to get out of that, the political strife is going to be crazy. And then if you look at all the resources, hardly any resources, the amount of wars they're going to start, it has nothing to do with, like, you know, it will be just people's ethnicities. Just because that's where they're all around.
Yeah.
But people are going to be fighting region for region over water. People are going to be fighting region for region over food.
Yeah.
And that's common. And it's going to be, when there's going to be less land and everything's underwater, it's going to be worse.
They're saying that the Syrian Civil War, a big part of that is because there was a drought. Because of global warming, there's been a drought for like 3 or 4 years in a row. So a whole bunch of farmers who couldn't fucking farm anymore went to the cities, were unemployed, and when things got bad, they were there to say, fuck this shit, and start protesting and start fighting. So that might be the very first example of climate change.
Dude, of us doing climate change, the Mongols left Mongolia because their horses couldn't eat the shit anymore.
Yeah.
There's some big drought there, so then it pushed them out, and that changed the world. And the Mongols, if anyone knows anything about that, if they listen to Dan Carlin, Hardcore History...
This is like the podcast of podcasts. We just give shout outs.
I don't care. I think it's fine. I mean, if there's something good out there, I want people to listen to it. You know, if there's like, if like 30 to 50 people are listening to this podcast and they don't get anything out of it other than more places to go to find information, because obviously we're bluffing through it. You know more names of things. I just get the concept of it because obviously I'm half asleep because I listen to all these things when I'm taking it. But Robbie's going nap time, so
when you're awake, yeah.
I get the gist of it. Well, I don't know how you remember those names, man. That's a big problem of mine.
If it's interesting, I can remember. If it's boring, I forget right away. So yeah.
Well, I don't remember the names. The names to me, like, I'll go, oh, there's this great documentary, or I read this thing about this guy that's got this experiment that does this, and I'll tell you what this is, but
he makes gold out of human poop.
That's the stupid bit. I regret saying that on air.
What?
I do. This one...
The idea of burning shit to make something productive
into gold.
That's normal. Well, I think gold is a stretch.
That's the original reason they did it. I know it's not, and I know, but I'm just saying, like, the shit that happens
people all around the world are burning shit right now to stay warm or to cook their fucking food.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's
really?
True.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Ugh. Gross.
Yeah. Well. Who knows? The only reason America's not like that yet is just because they got to America last. You know, if you look, like, America, if everything started the Fertile Crescent moved over, and this culture finally creeped over here, and like, yeah, America's home of the free. It's free because we just got here. Look how fucking free it's becoming not, because we've been here long enough. And as population starts to rise in America, it's going to get less and less free.
I don't know. People have been in fucking Germany and Denmark and England for a long fucking time, and in some ways those countries are just as free or more free than us.
Who won the war on that one? Germany's doing great.
Yeah, they are doing well.
There's another little documentary I saw on the BBC where this English family went to live like Germans for like a month.
Yeah.
They were like, we want to move to Germany. At the end of it, they were like, this guy's a writer in London, and like everything's cheaper. When you work, you really work. Like they have each other. They work. He worked at a pencil factory. Like, whoever does that anywhere else.
No fucking around.
But no, he like keeping the pencil straight in the machine. And he couldn't look at his phone. He didn't do that, but he got to work like later than we would normally do. And he left earlier and had a huge lunch. His wife didn't need to work because he made enough at the pencil factory. The schools were public and awesome, where the kids went to the actual forest to learn stuff and have fun. They had like 6-7 weeks vacation, paid vacation per year.
Yeah.
Everyone was way happier and more productive because they just got to they did the work when they needed to do it.
Yeah.
And then they didn't, and yeah, it just seemed like a great model to work in, like a great model for a society. I know in Norway, like in the Scandinavian countries, people are way happier. Denmark, everyone's way.
I heard a theory about Denmark though, because they're happy as fuck, but they're happy because
it's just tourists or something. They lie.
No, it's because they have realistic expectations because it's cold as shit there. It's cloudy 8 months out of the year. And they just expect to be kind of cold and gray. And so they expect that. And so when it's sunny, they're happy. Whereas in America, if we get one cloudy day, a little bit of rain, we fucking are pissed off for like a month. California. Yeah. But I mean, if you, I don't know, in America.
Dude, Ohio weather sucks.
That's true. But sucks. Well, that's, I'm just using weather as an example. Well, in America, if you fucking have to skip lunch, you're like, fuck this, I got low blood sugar, I'm going to sue somebody.
Well, because we have the advertising industry that's telling you that you're an American and you deserve, buy that. They you don't deserve buy that to shit. Be a movie star. And,
yeah, we're all reality TV stars that just haven't been discovered.
Yeah, well, what was John?
They don't have that attitude.
John Steinbeck said, "Why didn't like Marxism ever take
socialism hold of never caught on because all Americans are just temporarily embarrassed millionaires."
Yeah, that's and to this day, and, they make you miserable. Like the whole thing when you watch Mad Men and all that, that's kind of an interesting vantage point of seeing how we got to today.
Yeah.
Because so much of the way what shapes who we are was from Mad Men back then and now, trying to make you miserable, so miserable that you buy their product in hopes that their product is going to make your life better. Because you have to have a want. You know, if you're fine, then no one's going to sell you anything except for, you know, water and food. Because, no, I'm cool. I don't need a new car. My car's fine now. No, it's not. Look at this new one. What are you talking about? You need new shoes. You need new this. You need new that.
When it becomes shopping as a form of recreation. Ugh. I'm going to go shopping. Like, no, you should go buy stuff that you need, but just the act of shopping, for me, it's a chore. I get angry when I have to go shopping because I want to get that shit over with.
But I mean, I like to look good. I like when I get something that I really need.
Sure.
Shut up. When I get like my new computer, it was great. It was like, this is awesome. I've had my other one was so bad and was failing all the time. When you finally get something good, or a bicycle now, I had my mountain bike, which was made for mountains, not roads. It was slower. It was older. Yeah. Even in my mind, when I bought it, was new, but ain't today. But now that I got my road bike, it's just like night and day. And you feel great when you get that new thing. But
no, it's a short-term high. It absolutely is.
It feels awesome.
It's a fucking high. But it's amazing how quickly something that you thought was amazing 6 months, a year ago, like my iPhone is acting fucking wonky. The button on the top is like only works half the time, so I want to put it to sleep or whatever. I got to pound the button or whatever. But this thing, a year and a half ago, I was afraid to take out of my pocket in a crowd because somebody's going to bump me and it's going to get a scratch on it. And now I can't wait for 6 months so I can throw it the fuck away and get a new one. Everybody
has one now. I'm waiting for the next one because this will be 3 years that I've had this phone in November.
That's impressive.
But, I mean, we're using it now. We're literally talking to dozens of people.
Dozens of people who are taking naps right now.
The phone that I had before sucked. And, I mean, I get excited if I get a new app now, like Audioboo. Great app. I can use this. It's cool, like, but we really use the shit out of it. If you just are out shopping just to have things, then that is like a Kardashian or something. I picture Kim Kardashian on Rodeo Drive spending $15,000 on new stuff. That's what I picture with Kanye next to him spending $25,000 on. Do they even need to? Don't they get it all for free anyway? I don't know how even they pay money for that stuff. I imagine those places just
give I'm sure them. Places give them tons of stuff for free.
Yeah, but
so would you switch places with them?
Well, yeah, I definitely the money and influence.
No, you gotta take the fucking vacuous ego.
I don't dislike a lot of Kanye. Some of his music's pretty good, actually. Like,
the music
after his
music
mom
that
died.
He rips
after
off of Motown is amazing. Those Motown songs from the 70s that he uses to make his song sounds good are great. But he didn't need to speed them up or slow them down or put a new bass.
Sounds
in
there. So soulful, doesn't it? But well, he just raps about what it's like to be great and cool in him. You know, that's the strange part that I find like about a lot of like just hip hop like. Now that it's just rapping about how great it is to have all the money and stuff, it's like,
and that's all they've been talking about for like 12 years, 13 years now, 14 years now.
I don't know. I remember when we were Method Man would like that. Biggie like would rap about being rich, but it was cool. It was way better. He also other stuff.
But he got rich by selling crack because he was part of the crack game.
Yeah, he didn't get rich by. He got rich on the rap game. He was
trying to sit and take care of his daughter.
He was very trying
to keep him down. White devils.
This one's for those that called the police when I was just trying to sell crack to make.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really miss him that much.
Biggie?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I love Biggie Smalls. It's hard to I read a review of his movie where they're like, they didn't say why he was so good. And I'm like, I can't describe why he was so good. The way he said things, just the way his mind worked was incredible.
Yeah, he was a great mind. He's up there.
Oh, God, dude. As soon as I looked at it. For lyrics, it was.
Okay.
It was good. True. See, you're giving me this is the classic heckle, that you're not funny, you're not smart, and there's nothing you can do.
You're throwing shit out there. Fucking Biggie was a brilliant,
his mind!
I've listened to some of his shit. Some of it's fucking whack.
You're calling me out.
I'm just trying to split my donut. I can't get in there.
I'm wet. I'm too fat. The way he rhymed was great. I like it. And nobody else has that flow.
And once again, the fucking beats that Puff Diddy stole from fucking some 70s and 60s shit were awesome. The Jackson 5 song, I love that song. I like it better when I hear Michael Jackson's voice when he was 8 years old than fucking Biggie and Puffy going, what, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm coming out. That song? Is that Michael Jackson?
It might be.
I thought that was a girl.
Puff Diddy ripped off several Jackson 5 songs.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying more of the underground stuff by Biggie. That's a very big, those are the poppy ones.
They're all poppy.
No, yeah.
He had like 2 albums.
One was a double album.
Yeah, okay.
3 albums. I mean,
my point is he never had some like underground mixtape that you've heard.
He has. I just like the way that the way he arranged the words that he said. I'm gonna spare anyone from actually trying to rap through it because I'm terrible. And right now I've got a stuffed nose and I sound terrible.
If it wasn't for that stuffed nose though, you could fucking tear up.
I would rip up some Biggie Smalls. Tim's from my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's all I'll give you.
Enough.
Yeah. Well, we only got about 3 more minutes.
Yeah,
I don't know if we should shut it down. This has definitely been your hour. I feel like I've definitely given a B game on this one. We kind of meander. There's some good things, some okay things.
All right,
and here we take naps during podcasts. So feel free it could be sleeping people now.
If you want to be a winner, get inside somebody's head and pinch their butt.
There you go. That's the main lesson. Get inside their head.
That's the main lesson. When you're at work next Monday,
pinch their butt.
There's a coworker you don't like. Pinch his or her
next
butt.
Next time you eat that cheeseburger, realize that you're eating it's because of solid nitrogen, and the only reason you're alive is because some scientist.
Franz Haber.
Yeah, and the Franz Haber.
German Jew. Awesome, crazy, tragic dude.
Yeah, well, and he figured out a way to make the crop yield way more, and now we can all eat, and now we're destroying the world, so we got that down.
And that's how Biggie got fat, because there's too much food around.
What else we got? We got a bunch of podcasts that were good to listen to. Which ones were we saying? We'll watch The Bad Boys, which was on Netflix. That was good.
That was good.
You didn't watch it yet. Don't placate me.
I'm never going to watch it.
I wish you could see that look on his face right now. He thinks he's so cute right now.
I'm never going to watch it.
You're drunk, by the way.
I don't get drunk off 4 beers. I think we're good.
I guess. I don't know. I'm definitely going to publish it, but I just...
Hopefully nobody's listening at this point. We can just go ahead and end it.
Dude. We still have a few dozen people listening to this every time, and I don't know who they are. I have no idea who you are. If you want to leave a message or anything like that, that'd be neat. But thanks a lot for listening, bearing with us. It's the shadow and the clown and the shadow, whichever, whatever. What was it? Oh, Hippopotamus Apocalypse.
Yes.
Beware for
copyright, trademark, fuck you.
Hippopotamus Apocalypse. All right, later.